All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let us begin a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Kuf Lamid Vav, 136. And we are picking up Emir Tzashem on Kuf Lamid Hey Amid Beis, 135b. And we are picking up five lines up from the bottom, Tanya. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shir. Week of Learning sponsor, Selma Wolf, Azurafua Shalema for her daughter, Naomi Bas Sara. Week of Learning sponsor, Ira and Miriam Grossman, in commemoration of the archetype of Ira's mother, Freda Bas Shmuel, Zichron Libracha, and our Dafyomi sponsor today, Noah and Fallon Sapoznik, in memory of Noah's mother, Ellen, Esther Bas Nissen. We hope that in the merits of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas have an Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and all those who require a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. So also we come to really a very fascinating sugya. So let us begin 135b, five lines up from the bottom. Says the Gemara Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Omer. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's also. So now remember this shita, because we're going to be referencing it a lot over the course of today's shir. So Reb Shimon Gamliel, Omer. Kol Sheshaha Lamed Yom Ba'adam Eino Nefel. We'll say, Reb Shimon Gamliel says as follows. It is only once a baby is alive for 30 days that it has left the status of a nephil. So remember again, a nephil means a non-viable child. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says, before 30 days, the baby is not considered to be viable. Now, we'll say that is going to have a whole host of ramifications and repercussions, as we're going to see. So therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, it's only once a baby passes the 30-day mark that the baby is considered to be quote unquote alive and viable. Shenemar ufiduyav mi ben chodesh tifta. So again, his raya is actually a pretty good raya, which is that the concept of pidyon haben, the concept of redemption of the firstborn, occurs ultimately again from 30 days and on, even by erech vows. Right, we see that quote unquote nothing has value within 30 days. Now, we'll say suggest the backdrop to this. Right, Rashi says, "Upidia bebechar adam ksiv." Right, by bechar. Supposed to suggest the. Look at Rashi just a moment. Mi ben chodesh, v'detali b'haki shmamina achshav nisparishu ben kayama v'lo kol demachin. So we're going to see. There's two ways to look at this. Although either that in general, just no human being is viable until they pass the 30-day mark. In other words, there's a suffix viability on every person who's born. And therefore, Allah Almighty, so only once you make it past the 30-day mark have you demonstrated some level of viability. Second possibility, which we're going to see in the Gemara, is the notion that perhaps we're not sure exactly when this baby was born. Both remember, going back to yesterday's daf, in the eyes of Chazal, a baby born during month 9 and during month 7 are viable. During month 8, there's something that happens in the maturation of a baby that makes an 8-month baby non-viable. So it could very well be that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying over here is as follows, that whenever a baby is born, we're never exactly sure, you know, how old, or I should say, how developed this baby is. So therefore, again, every baby kind of begins with the assumption of non-viability. Because it's a suffix, is it a suffix zayin, suffix tes, suffix ches, and therefore, only once it passes the 30-day mark is it considered to be viable. Similarly, bebehema eino nefel. I'm sorry, shmones yamim bebehema eino nefel. It's only after an animal is alive for eight days, only on the 8th day of its life, is it no longer considered a nefel. Only after 8 days is it considered to be viable. Shneemar umiyom hashmini v'hala yeratzet lekarban. Because we'll say, what's the halacha? The halacha is you can't offer up an animal as a carbon until after it is 8 days old. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you see from here, that's what? That halacha l'maisa, only once it's past the 8th day mark is it considered to be a viable, healthy animal. So we'll say, this is Shitas Reb Shimon Gamliel, that a baby is only considered to be viable after 30 days. An animal is only considered to be viable after 8 days. So says the Gemara, Halo Shaha Sveika Havi. So what you're telling me is that every single baby within 30 days of Osai is a suffix, right? A suffix nephil. Suffix nephil. Suffix viable, suffix not viable. Well, that's the case type of Kof Lamed Vav. Mim Hal Hachi Mahalin Aleh. Shabbos say, I don't understand. We just spent all of this time speaking about the fact that what? That Mila's Docha Shabbos, right? Mila Bayam Hashmini, 8th day Mila's Docha Shabbos. But I don't understand. Why is eighth day Mila Docha Shabbos? Every 8 day old baby will say is what? Is a suffix nafel. Suffix if it's a lie, you know, suffix viable, suffix not viable. Why would you have a license to go out and be Mechal Shabbos for a baby that is only suffix viable? Look at Rashi. Mimhal he tap Rashi kofa amud vav amud aleph. Mimhal hechi mahalinon. Shum kata memashmini. But Shabbos, how are you able to circumcise any baby on the 8th day when it's Shabbos? Dilma nefalu. Velo chazi lamo. Va'ose chabur l'shlo l'shemin. So we'll say the whole yisod over here of Mila on Shabbos is that halacha l'maisa, is halacha l'maisa, the mitzvah of Mila is docha Shabbos. But if you're telling me that every baby within 30 days is not considered to be viable or not yet viable, so then how am I permitted to go ahead and be Mechalo Shabbos to go ahead and give a bris mila to a baby who has not certified its viability? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Amar Avada, Barav Amalin also, no, we give the baby a mila b'manafshach. Because we'll say, again, one of two ways, Im Chayhu, if it turns out that the baby lives past 30 days, Shapir Kamohil, then ultimately you're going to perform the proper mila. Ve'im lav, but if Chas Hashem, the baby doesn't survive past 30 days, Mechatech Bebasr, then we'll say it shows that the baby was never viable to begin with. And if the baby was never viable to begin with, then the act of Mila is not a Chabura. Let's remember again, what's the problem with Mila on Shabbos? What's the Malach involved? Causing a Chabura, causing a wound, which is a Toldah of Shechita. So that's only by living organisms, right? So remember again, if you cause something dead to bleed on Shabbos, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. So the Gemara Saman of Shach, if the baby lives past 30 days, then it was a proper Mila. And if the baby doesn't live past 30 days, then the Maisa again, you performed a Mila on something, quote unquote, that was non-viable, that was dead. And therefore, Allah Maisa, it's not a problem. Anyway, but what about the fact that we learned the following? So it's a really, really very interesting Shidah. If you're not sure if the baby was born at the end of 7 months or at the end of 8 months, that's the type of baby that we will not give the Mila on Shabbos. Because again, Abbas, remember again, the only time you could go ahead and violate Shabbos for the baby is when you know that it's a definitive Mila. But if we're not sure, again, it was the baby born in 7 months, 8 months, that's a big difference. 8 month baby is considered to be non-viable. Non-viable baby, there's no heter to go ahead and give the bris Mila on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Am I? I don't understand. So remember, let's just take a step back. So you have Rav Shimon Leal who says that halacha l'maisa, a baby is only considered to be viable once he lived past 30 days. Here's the problem, says the Gemara. Then how are you ever allowed to have a mila on Shabbos? Because aren't you potentially then violating Shabbos for a baby that's not viable? To which the Gemara says, shach, it's not a problem. If the baby lives past 30 days, turns out the mila is totally sanctioned and fine. And if the baby chasrom doesn't live past 30 days, it shows that the baby was non-viable. And therefore, the mila that you did, of course, wasn't a mila. But halacha l'maisa also wasn't a malacha. Because it was as if you were cutting something that was not viable, that was dead. So the Gemara says, okay, now once you have that svara, what happens in the following case? I have a baby. I'm not sure, was it born after, is it a 7th month baby? Or an 8th month baby. I also remember again, an 8th month baby is considered to be non-viable. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, you can't give such a baby a mila on Shabbos. You can't be docha Shabbos to such a baby. But why? Why not? Nimhale mimanav shach. Give the mila. Again, we'll say manav shach. Manav shach means either way you're covered. Im chayhu shapir kamohil. If the baby is alive and if the baby is viable, then it's a proper mila. Vimlad mechatech bebasahu. And if not, all you're doing is cutting dead flesh. And I will say, there's no problem with cutting dead flesh on Shabbos, even if it causes bleeding. Omer Marbri Dravina, Ana V'Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia, Targumina, Mimhal Hachi Nami Mahalina Le. So we'll say, Se'inachi Nami. So here you have, so Marbri Dravina says, me and Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia. So we explain this in the following way, that Einachi Nami, you could give the Mila under these circumstances. Lo nitzucha ella l'machshire mila. So say enach inami, it could very well be that halacha l'maisa, we would go ahead and give a mila to this type of baby. It's quite possible. So what's the issue over here when we don't go ahead and allow you to violate Shabbos for a 7th month baby? What is that referring to? Machshire Mila Va'aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say that would be for Machshire Mila according to Rabbi Eliezer. We'll say, so taking a step back for just a moment. So remember again, we had the Machlokes in the Mishnah about whether or not taking Mechal Shabbos for Machshire Mila. Rabbi, remember, preparatory acts, transporting the knife, or even under extreme circumstances, making the knife. Rabbi Eliezer said you are permitted to go ahead at violate Shabbos for Machshire Mila. Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan said you cannot. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows, that halacha lemaisa, when we say that you can't be Mechal Shabbos for a Safek Ben Zayin, Safek Ben Ches, what is that talking about? Not for Mila, but rather it's talking about that you can't be Mechal Shabbos for Machshire Mila, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, in other words, when does Rabbi Eliezer allow you to violate Shabbos for Machshire Mila? Only when you know that you have a bona fide viable baby. But if there's a suffix about the viability of the baby, such as, I don't know if this is a 7th month baby or an 8th month baby, then under those circumstances, Rabbi Eliezer would say that you cannot violate Shabbos for Machshire Mila. Okay, very interesting. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. So we'll say Kitanoi. So we'll say Abaye says, in reality, this whole thing is a machlokes tanoi. In other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel's statement is a machlokes tanoi. What does this mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Kitanoi, Nefil Gamar, in Chashuv Kemes, Kidika, Amar Rav Adabar Ava, De'eno ala mechatech babasar, Olo, Vahavi Chabura. So we'll say, in general, so the question is, how do we view a Nefil? How do we view a non-viable baby? Is a non-viable baby considered as if it's already dead? Is that how we look at it? Or was, you know, it sounds like a little bit unfeeling to speak in this way, you know, about a baby. But again, we're talking on a legal categorization level. So how do you view a non-viable? You're going to see why this has ramifications in many areas of halacha. How do you view a non-viable baby? Is it viewed ultimately, again, as already dead? Is that how we view it? That even though, again, right now it's living, it's breathing, but halachically we categorize it as mace, or do we see, no, that it's alive? So Abayi wants to suggest that indeed this is a machlokes tanoim. Watch this. So we'll say, remember again, the pasuk says that if you have an animal, that's not a kosher animal, that died without shechita. Animal that it's a nevela, die without shechita. So the pasuk says, "V'chiyamos min avehema asher lehilacham la'achla hanogeh benivla sa yitma ad ha'erev." If someone touches the carcass, you become tame until the evening. So says the Gemara, what does this come to include? Lahavi ben shmona she'en shechitasa metarasa. We'll say this comes to include an 8-day-old animal whose shechita is not metar. She'en shechitasa metarasa. So I'll say the shechita would not be mitar. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, "Li'achla lahavi benchas, the kulikra darish lebetoras kanim mina behema, miktsas behema mitama, or miktsas eino mitama, prat l'treifa sheshachta, or midimemait asher lahem, asher hi lahem lach, asher hi lachem lahavi behema tmea, lefisha parsha rishona dechsiv." I'm just going to read Rashi, then we'll explain it. "L'chala behema asher hi mafrases parsa, ve'enena ma'alas gera, mokilam hasam be'evra menachaya, kasam medara parsha zu, be'mesa vadai li'achla, lahavi ben ches chadashim, she'af shchitaso miso mitama." So we'll listen to this. So what happens if halacha l'maisa, you have a ben ches that you shechted? So the Gemara says the shchita is not metaharit. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Shechitas Metaraso. They disagree, and they say that halacha l'maisa, even if the animal is a treifa, the shechita is still metaraso. So it's an interesting shiloh here. If you have an animal that's a treifa, so remember again, what's a treifa? Treifa means any animal that has a condition from which it definitely will die. That's the definition of a treifa. So this is an interesting shiloh. So if you shecht a treifa, so remember, you can't eat it because you're not allowed to eat a treifa. So why would you shecht a treifa? Very simply, because you don't want the animal to be metame as a nevela, right? If the animal dies on its own, it conveys tumas nevela. I would like to avoid any tumas situation. I know the animal's going to die, so what do? I shecht it. So what's this? Here the shayla, does shechita remove tumas nevela from a treifa. So we'll say it would appear that what is that machlokes based on? What is machlokes based on? How do you view a treifa? Do you view a treifa animal as if it's alive? All right, if it's alive, then enachinam the shechita could potentially save it from tumas nevela. Or do you view a treifa as what? As if it's already dead. And if it's already dead, then the shechita has no ramifications. Ah, that I will say sounds a lot like the machlokes over here, right? How do you view a non-viable child? Is a non-viable child viewed as alive until literally again it stops breathing until it's dead, or no? Because it is non-viable, so halachically, it is categorized as dead already now. So we'll say, so it would appear that this machlokes over here by the treifa is this would be the same machlokes by a baby. So which the Gemara says, my love, b'hakamiflagi. So are they not arguing about the following point? Demar savra chayhu, mar savra mesu. Mostly what they're arguing about is the halachic categorization of a treifa. When something has a condition from which it is definitely going to die. So do we view that item as alive until it's dead? Or do we view it as being dead right now? Amar Rava. Rava says, if that's their machlokes, so we'll say, if that's the case, instead of going to have machlokes about tumah taira, why don't you go to have machlokes about consumption? So right, so we'll say, right, wouldn't that be even better, right? Halacha lemaisa, if you were to go ahead and shech this animal, is it fit for consumption or not? Ella, dechuli alma mesu. So we'll say, rather, again, when it comes to a treifa, everyone agrees that a treifa is dead. So we'll say, we know this, by the way, because this, right, this is the Mishnah Maseches Makis, that if you go ahead and you kill someone who is a treifa, you are not chayiv misa for that. So everyone agrees that treifa is considered to be as if it's already dead. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savri, kitreifa. So the Gemara says, kitreifa, treifa, lav afagav demesehi, shchitas metarasa. See, Rabbi Yossi, by a treifa, even though halacha lemaisa, it's already considered to be as if it's dead, nevertheless, the shechita has the ability to go ahead and take away nevela status. Hachanami loshna. So to Rabbi Abba say there should be no distinction as well. For Rabbanon will say, lo dami the treifa. So we'll say the Rabbanon will say, no, you can't compare the case of a baby to the case of treifa. Why not? Treifa, haisala shasa kosher. The treifa, Abba say, see, the assumption is that halacha lemaisa, it wasn't born a treifa, but rather again, it was born healthy and then became a treifa. So therefore, it had a period of time in which it was, quote unquote, kosher. Hi, lo, hi, salah, shasa, kosher. But the baby that we're talking about, again, I will say, was born a nathal, never had a shasa kosher, never had a time when it was healthy. To which the Gemara said, v'chitema, treifa mi beten ma'ika lameim. Ay, but what will you say then with a treifa mi beten? What about an animal that's born as a treifa? Hasam yesh bamina shchita. So they will say there, that type of animal is subject to the halachas of shchita. Hacha ein bamina shchita. They will say in this case, a baby of this type ultimately again is not viable. There's no possible way to remedy this circumstance. So we'll say, so again, we're still trying to figure out. We know we have a statement of Rim Shimon Gamliel. Rim Shimon Gamliel is very definitive. Baby less than 30 days old does not have the chazaka of being viable. And therefore, halacha lemaisa is still considered to be a nafel. Only once it passes the 30-day mark is it given the seal of viability. How do you do Mila on Shabbos if that's the case? Miman of Shach, if it turns out to be alive, good. If Chas Shalom it dies, then it's just mechatech babas or cutting dead flesh, which is not problematic on Shabbos. So let's say, here's the shayla. Mi pligi rabbanon alei d'Rab Shimon Gamliel, o lo. We'll say, so here's the shayla. Do the rabbanon argue on Rab Shimon Gamliel? Now, we'll say, look at Rashi. Lemishrei vlad shal behem b'so chasyom. So we'll say, so this actually has two, so remember, they're asking the real ramification of this machlokes. So we'll say, as we're going to see, in the case of a baby, it's not quite clear what the ramifications are, although we'll see ramifications in just a bit. Because remember, the only ramification we can think about whether or not, in terms of whether or not the baby is considered to be alive in the first 30 days, is really legabe mila. And again, for mila purposes, we've already established that we give the baby a mila. Remember, Shimon said a second statement. What was the second statement? The second statement was that an animal within 8 days is also considered to be a nephil. Then I will say, now that has a different ramification, which is what? Can you eat an animal that is less than 8 days old? See, here's what I know. I can't offer up an animal as a karban until it reaches 8 days. Can I eat it for my own consumption? Then I will say, now what does that depend on? Now look, if you hold that an animal within the first 8 days is not considered to be viable, then what? Then Allah says that animal's a treifa. If it's a treifa, I'm not allowed to eat it. So the shayla the Gemara says is, do the Rabbanon agree or disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Im tim selomar pligi, and if they disagree, halacha kimoso, only not halacha kimoso, who does the halacha follow? See, here we go. Tashma, egel shenolad biyamtiv, shochetin oso biyamtiv. If you have a calf that is born on yamtiv, you are permitted to shecht it on yamtiv. They're both saying it's pretty dramatic. What does that seem to tell you? Right, this seems to tell you that even a 1 day old calf is permitted for consumption. Well, if a 1 day old calf is permitted for consumption, that must be an etirah bonon disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Take a look at Rashi. Shochetin oso biyamtiv ve'ino mukta shahari ben hashmashes nami hayamuchan agav imo miu sham inon mina demutter lebo bayo. So we'll say that's pretty clear. Right? Pretty clear that halacha lemaisa, the Gemara is telling me that I'm permitted to go ahead and eat an animal within 8 days. So obviously, the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, to which the Gemara says, no, 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 what's the case? Hachama askinon, the kimle begaveshe kalalo chadoshav. So we'll say, so somebody was monitoring the gestational calendar of the mother, of the cow, and we know that this was a vlad that is fully, that went through an entire gestational period. We'll say, remember, this goes back before. What's Rav Shimon Gamliel's logic? Why does Rav Shimon Gamliel hold that halacha lamaisa, an animal within 8 days is not viable, or for that matter, a baby within 30 days is not viable? Why? Because we're never quite sure if the fetus is fully baked, right? That's really the shayla. We're never quite sure, did the fetus undergo the full gestational period? So is this a baby? Is this a 9 month baby, a 7 month baby, an 8 month baby? Is the cow, whatever the gestational period of the cow is, right? Is this a fully formed fetus? Not a fully formed fetus. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says you kind of have to get over the hump. Once the animal reaches 8 days, that shows it's viable. Once a baby reaches 30 days, that shows it's viable. So the Gemara says over here, it could very well be that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say that if you know for sure that the egel, let's say, for example, in this case, the calf, had its full gestational period, it's possible, not possible, probably, the halacha would be that that calf would be permitted upon birth, because there's no suffix anymore. So therefore, again, Gemara posits when the Braisa said that if an egel is born on yomtiv, that you can eat it right on yomtiv, is what kind of case? Where you know it had a complete gestational period. Tashma, v'shavin, she'im nolad, hu, umumo imo, shezet min hamuchan. So we'll say they both agree. They both agree. Now Rashi points out over here, if you look at Rashi, shavin, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimesh, nechalku baroen mumin biyamtiv, b'meseches beitza, she'im nolad hayom hu, umumo imo, shumin hamuchan, umutu levaker mumo biyamtiv. So we'll say this is a bigger discussion about by Bechar. So remember again, what's the halacha? Person has a Bechar animal, that Bechar goes to the Kohen. With one exception, if the Bechar has a mum, then ultimately it remains the property of the Yisrael owner. Now there's a machlokes Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nechemia, or Rabbi Shimon, excuse me, about whether or not we examine mumin on yomtiv. So we'll say everyone agrees. So we're going to have to get into the details of the machlokes, but for our purposes, everyone agrees, shim nola tu umumo imo, that if the animal was born, the mum is born with the animal, and it's clear that the mum is problematic. That the Yisrael could eat the animal that day. So we'll say, so if you have a Bechar animal that was born with a mum, and it's clear, kishemesh b'tzaharayim, that the mum is one that takes away its kedushas Bechar, and therefore the animal becomes a property of the Yisrael, that the Yisrael could eat that on yomtiv. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That at least according to the Rabbanon, you don't have to wait 8 days before partaking of the animal, that the animal is assumed to be viable now. What's the case, once again, where we know that this is a fully formed animal? This animal had a complete gestational period, and that's why halacha lamaisa, so you can go ahead and eat it. Tashma daran mihudam reshmuel. Halo, Halacha grib shimming on the yob. So once he comes along, I read this in the name of Shmuel. The halacha follows the shimming on the yob. Well, so that's the halacha. That's the Gemara says. Namely, a baby is only considered to be viable after 30 days. An animal is only considered to be viable after 8 days. Within 30 of a baby, it has the status of at least a suffix nathal. Same for the animal. To which the Gemara says, halacha michlal de pligi. That will say in general, when the Gemara needs to make a declarative statement, that the halacha follows so-and-so, that usually indicates to us what? That someone is arguing. To which the Gemara says, Shema Mina. Inach in Amir will say that it's true. What do you see from here? That Rabbanon disagree on Rav Shimon. So we have a fundamental machlokes between Rabbanon and Rav Shimon Gamliel about the status of a baby within 30 days, status of an animal within 8 days. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds the status of an animal within 8, baby within 30 is a nafel. Is a nafel. And ultimately, again, and according to the Rabbanon, it is not. So we'll say, here we go. Amar Abaye, Nafal min hagag, o achlo ari, divrei hakol chayhu. So we'll say, listen to this. What happens if something happens to the baby, and the baby dies within 30 days? But we'll say, it's not like the baby just dies. Chasson, the baby falls off the roof, or the baby is eaten by a lion. So I'll say everyone agrees in that type of situation, you treat the baby as if it was viable. The baby didn't live 30 days. It's true, the baby didn't live 30 days. Well, so remember, again, the premature demise of the baby has nothing to do with the baby's inherent viability. What does it have to do with? It has to do with, ultimately, again, some external factor. So everyone will agree that if you have a situation of a baby that died within 30 days, but nothing to do with the baby's health, something to do with external circumstances, that baby is considered to be alive. Now we'll say, again, we'll see the ramifications of that. So the Gemara says, keep ligi, she piek yume. So we'll say, when do they argue? And we'll say, piek literally means the baby yawned and died. So we'll say, yawned in this context means the baby exhibited very little physical vitality and then passed away. So what do you do with a circumstance like this? Mar savar chayhu, umar savar mesu. One opinion says the baby is considered to be alive, and one said the baby is considered to be dead. And I was about to say, so if you have a baby that exhibited some level of physical vitality, but very weak vitality. So one opinion says the baby is considered to be living, the other one said dead. L'may nafkamina, what's nafkamina? Oh, liftar min hayibum. We'll say a very important nafkamina. Let's say, again, a woman gives birth to a baby. Her husband dies afterwards. And then what happens? The baby dies shortly after, within 30 days. After only giving a yawn, the baby dies. So says the Gemara, Nafal min. So then again, this machlokes, ultimately will be very, very important. To which the Gemara says, Nafal min agago achlari, divrei hakol chayhu. So everyone agrees that if within 30 days the baby fell off the roof or was eaten by a lion, that the baby is considered to be alive and viable, which makes sense, because the baby's premature demise has nothing to do with the baby's vitality and everything to do with external circumstances. Therefore, that baby is considered to be alive. So we'll say, so for example, if a woman were to be married and has a baby, right, and then let's say again, her husband dies, and then right after her husband dies, the baby is eaten by a lion. Halacha l'maaseh, she is not subject to yibum, right? Because her husband left behind living offspring. The Gemara says, "V'ha Rav Papa Rav Hun Bar Yehuda Yeshua." They both listen to this story. Rav Papa and Rav Hun Bar Yehuda Yeshua, iklo'u lebei brei d'Rav Idi Bar Avin. They went to the home of the son of Rav Idi Bar Avin. V'avid luhu igla tilsa, and he made for them an iglatilsa. So remember again, iglatilsa means a third born calf, or a calf that has reached one third of its maturity. It's a delicacy. He made for them an iglatilsa. Biyamama de Shiva. But I will say, when did he slaughter the iglatilsa? On the seventh day of its life, when it was only 7 days old. Biyamri. And they said to him, Amri le, I is rachisu le adla arta, hava achlinon mine, hashta lo achlinon mine. You know, had you waited till tonight, we would have eaten from this iglatilsa. But now that you shechted it today, we can't eat it. We'll say, why was the pshat? Because had he waited till tonight, what would it have been? It would have been already into the 8th day. As Rashi points out, we could say, mixisum kekulo, part of the day counts as the whole. So had you waited till tonight, we would have partaken of the iglatilsa. But now you went ahead and you shechted it by day. I'm sorry, we can't partake of it because it has not yet reached its 8th day. which indicates to us what? That Allah say. So now what is this a case of? This is very important. What is this a case of? In this case over here, so remember, the animal was shechted. So we'll say this is a case of a less than 8 day old calf that went ahead and died, not on its own, right? Not because of its own lack of vitality, but because someone killed it, right? Because someone killed it. And yet, again, you see these rabbanim refusing to partake of it. So we'll say, isn't this the same case of the baby that was eaten by a lion? So you said before, if the baby was eaten by a lion within 30 days, followed through within 30 days, the baby is considered to be viable because, again, it didn't die because of lack of inherent viability. It died because of external circumstances. Such a baby is viable. Yet here you have an animal that was slaughtered on the 8th day, actively slaughtered. So the animal died before 8 days, not because the animal wasn't viable, but because someone killed it. So Lamaisa, why wouldn't such an animal be kosher? Yet you see these Rabbanim refuse to partake of it. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says... I'm sorry. So ultimately, again, rather, what's the case? The case is where the animal yawned and died. So we'll say, again, that case where they showed that the animal exhibited some levels of compromised vitality. So because of that, they would not partake of it. Keep ligi benafal min hagag va'achlo ari. Mar savra mesu, mar savra chayhu. So what's another story? Braid derev dimi bar Yosef isyalid leahu yenuka begot las in yamin shachiv. Supposed to listen to this. Second wide line on the bottom. So the son of Rav Dimi bar Yosef had a baby, and Nebuch, the baby died within 30 days. Baby died within 30 days. And I was saying, I watch this. Shachiv v'yosef kamis avel ilayu. So what happened? The son of Rav Dimi sat Shiva for the baby. So what happened? Amar li avua. So Rav Dimi, his father, came along and said, "Tsuronisa kaba islamechol. Do you want to eat the Shiva tray? Is that why you're sitting Shiva? Right? You want the tray from Goldberg's? That's what it is. What you want?" We'll say so strong words. Right, but he says to his sons, "What's the pshat? You like the meal train? That's what it is. You want to eat the food?" So he's telling us why are you sitting Shiva? So we'll say, so again, what do you see from this story? You see from this story that a baby within 30 days is not considered to be viable like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amrale Kimli Bay Shekalu Lo Chadashim. I know that this baby had. Is there another sponsor? I'm sorry. Oh, thank you. So I know that halacha lemaisa, the baby had complete vitality. The baby was fully formed. We'll say, so remember again, let's take a step back. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, when he says that a baby within 30 days is not vital, right? It's called the nafel. That's only because there's a suffix if the baby underwent the full gestational period. That's the shaila. How do you ever know? But if somehow you know that the baby underwent the entire gestational period, then ein achinami, that baby would be considered to be completely vital. See, here you have the son of Rav Dimi going ahead and sitting Shiva for the baby that died within 30 days. His father saying, "What are you doing? That's a nafel. You don't sit Shiva for a baby within 30 days." To which the son says, "I know the baby went through a full gestational period, and therefore, again, the baby was a vlad shel kayama, was a sustainable life, and therefore, I do sit Shiva." So again, another story like this. First of all, I'm sorry, I left out one of the sponsors to thank Avran and Gali Elbaum for dedicating the week of learning and creation of the Yahrzeit of Reizel Bas Chanoch, and the Zuchusav Rafu Shlema for Sarah Bas Reizel and Shraga Moshe Ben Fega. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. Ravashi ikla bei Rav Kahana. Ravashi went to the house of Rav Kahana. Isra bei Milsa begot las in yomin. So ultimately, there was unfortunately Rav Kahana lost the child, lost the baby that died within 30 days. Chaz yodiyasa v'kamis aviluya. He saw that he was sitting Shiva for the baby. Amrali lo savrali mar lo hada amra v'yuda amr shmua lach Rav Shimon Gamliel. Don't you hold, like what we said before, that the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, namely, I will say that a baby within 30 days is not considered to be a bar kayam, it's not considered to be sustainable, and therefore there should be no shiva. I know that the baby was fully formed. The baby was fully formed, full gestational period, and therefore there is an obligation of shiva. Itmar. Chibose, by the way, you know that is halacha lamayz. Halacha lamayz shonach paskins that Rachmana Litzlan, if one loses a baby within 30 days, we don't sit Shiva. for such a baby. Out of the psak of this of Shimon and Leal, because halacha lemaisa within 30 days, the halacha does not view it that the baby was what had total vitality. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, I will say, now again, just the caveat to that is, you could sit Shiva, a person could sit Shiva for whoever they want. In other words, we both say, Shiva, in other words, so let's say, if parents would want to sit Shiva for such a baby like that, you can, you're allowed to. There would be no aninos, right? Because remember again, aninos is when you're potter from mitzvahs. There is no aninos if there's not a halachically warranted or halachically mandated Shiva. But halacha lemaisa, if a baby dies within 30 days, there's no Shiva based on the statement of Shimon and Leal. It's really incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. I'm sorry? No Kaddish either. No Kaddish either. So they, again, you like it's one of those things you can, but there's no halachic obligation. So the Gemara says, goes weiter. The Gemara says, good. Itmar, meis besoch shloshim, va'amda b'nes kach. So let's listen to this case. Let's say this is now the Yibum case. A woman had a baby. And her husband died. And then the baby died. Well, let's see differently. A woman had a baby. Her husband died, and then the baby died afterwards, and the baby died within 30 days. And what happens? Va'amda v'niskacha, nebosai, this woman assumes that she does not need yibum, right? Because again, remember, when her husband died, there was a living heir, it was a living offspring. The baby died a little bit after the father died, within 30 days. Not within 30 days of the father, within 30 days of the baby's birth. She goes in and she gets married to someone else. So I'm Ravina Mishmei Durava. So Ravina said the name of Rabba. I'll say, I'm a days. Im Eishes Yisrael hi choletzes. Im Eishes Kohen hi eino choletzes. We'll say, it's actually very interesting. So comes along Ravina. Ravina says, look, at the end of the day, she got married because she assumed she did not need Yibam or Chalitza. Why not? Because Yibam or Chalitza is a function of when a man dies and leaves no offspring. In this case, the man left offspring. The problem is, it turns out that it was non-viable offspring. As I will say, the Gemara is suggesting when the baby dies within 30 days, that's ki'ilu what? That's ki'ilu there was no offspring. Now, I will say, now watch this. So the Gemara adopts a very interesting middle position. So Ravina says, look, if the guy she married, meaning husband number two, is Yisrael, it's not a problem. Let her do chalitza with her deceased husband's brother. And then what? And then she could remarry the Yisrael husband. Why? Because remember again, after Chalitza, Rabbi say, what's her status? Her status is that of a grusha, of a divorcee. A Yisrael can marry a divorcee, no problem. So Rabbi says, Rabbi essentially says, if the guy she married is Yisrael, there's an easy way to remedy everything. Let her do Chalitza, and she could live happily ever after with husband number two, the Yisrael. However, if the guy she married is a Kohen, eino choletzes. Ultimately, again, Ravina says, at the end of the day, if the guy she married was a Kohen, we would not make her do Chalitza. Why, Rabbi Oseh? Because if you would make her do Chalitza, then what would that do? That would give her the status of a Grusha. And if she's a Grusha, she may not remain married to the Kohen's second husband. So we'll say, see from here that Ravina takes a little bit of a delicate approach, looking at that baby on one hand as potentially viable, potentially not viable. So again, when we don't need to, so remember, the baby died within 30 days. So if we could treat the baby as an nafal and mandate chalitza, that's best. But only if it doesn't cost her second marriage. See, if second husband is a Yisrael, chalitza doesn't cost her anything. Just do the chalitza, cover your bases. But if halacha lemaisa, chalitza is going to cost her a second marriage, in the case of her husband number two is a Kohen, we will not mandate chalitza. But Rav Sharvia Mishmei Derava Amar, Rav Sharvia said the name of Rava, no achazu, v'achazu choletzes. Ultimately, again, so Rav Sharvia said the name of Rava, it's not true. She has to do chalitza no matter what. No matter what, because the maisa will say, if indeed we accept the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel, then halacha lemaisa, maybe within 30 days, is considered to be a nafal, which means that really the deceased husband did not leave behind any real offspring, and therefore again chalitza is mandated. So let's listen to this. So Ravina said to Rav Sharvia, you know, you missed the end of Shir. It's true, in the evening Rava said what you just said, but in the morning he changed his mind. Rashi says, Lotzafra Hadrbe, Bamra Eishes Koin Enacholetes. So you were quoting the initial position of Rava, but then Rava softened his position and said that Enachinami, if she is married to a Kohen, she need not do Chalitza. So we'll say, So Rav Sharvia wasn't happy with this. Amrale Sherusa Yehe Rava Detishru Tarba. May it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you will come to, for, right, or I should say, Sherusa, he who permits. He who permits. So Rav Sharvia was calling Ravina a permitter. Rabbi was saying, in the Beis Medrash, that's a big shtach. Right? You're a permitter. Right? You're the guy who's matir everything. So you know what? You're a permitter. Sherusa, it should be the will of Hashem that you will come to go ahead and permit forbidden fasts. Rabbi say, which again is a little bit also a shtach. It sounds better in the Hebrew and the Aramaic. Rabbi say, but you understand the idea is that sort of Sharvia was saying to Ravina, you know, someone like you who is too lenient with permissiveness will get himself into trouble and will continue to permit things that are really asa. So that's the machlokas. You could see over here already that the Shulchan Aruch adopts the position of Rav Sharvia's interpretation, of Ravina's interpretation of Rava, namely that halacha lemaisa, if the baby dies within 30 days, if she's married to a Yisrael, we will make her do chalitza, but if she's married to a kohen, we will not make her do a chalitza. Interesting. Go to the Gemara, goes weiter. So Rabbi Yehuda matters. So let's remember again. So Rabbi Yehuda, now we're jumping back. So let's say, so again, we do adopt the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, halacha lemaisa, legabi nefel. So as we said before, the real ramification for that for us would be for Yibum and for Avelus purposes. The next part of the Gemara was Rabbi Yehuda permitted the mila of an androgynous on Shabbos, right? So remember again, the Mishnah said as follows. The Mishnah said that for a suffik and an androgynous, we're not mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says you are mechal Shabbos to give an androgynous a mila. Okay, says the Gemara, Amrav Shizvi, Amrav Chista, lo lekol Amrav Yehuda androgynous zachar. Now clearly, clearly, what Rabbi Yehuda is actually saying is that an androgynous is a zachar, right? That's the takeaway over here. Meaning, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that you could do the mila of an androgynous on Shabbos tells us that an androgynous is male, according to Rabbi Yehuda. To which the Gemara says, by the way, don't think that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in all circumstances, right? It's dafka by mila that he holds that way. After all, Shim'ata Omer King. As well as if you hold, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that androgynous is always considered to be male. Be'erchin yerach. So therefore, when it comes to erchin, I also remember again, erchin are personal valuation vows. A person says, I pledge my erach, my value. I pledge your erach. So the Torah gives specific categories. So a male between the ages of 20 and 60 is going to be X. Below 20 is going to be Y. A female is going to be this. So also we know that if you pledge the erchin of an androgynous, he's not judged like a male. After all, I don't know that androgynous is not treated like a male, for erchin purposes, to which the Gemara says, this Sanya, because we learned, Yocho HaZocher. The Pasuk says, by erchin HaZocher, the male, velo tumtum va'androgynous. And the Pasuk says, it doesn't come to include, or that excludes, a tumtum and an androgynous. Yocho lo yehe erech be'ish, lo yehe be'erech ish, ava yehe be'erech isha. So I thought maybe that means that what? That an androgynous is not treated with the erchin of a man, but maybe he's given the erchin of a woman. Talmud Lomar haZocher v'im nekevahi zocher vaday nekeva vadois v'lo tumtum va'androgynous. Rabbi say halacha lemaisa when it comes to erchin, either you're male or you're female, and if you don't definitively fit into one of, there's no gender fluidity by erchin. Either you fit into a category or you don't fit into a category. You're zocher or you're nekeva. Therefore, androgynous, which obviously cannot definitively, unfortunately, fit into a category, has no erech value. So top of Tkuf Lam Zayin Amud Aleph, Ustam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, Amram Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ustam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, Amram Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Af Ananami Tanina. We also learn this as a Sosobose. So remember again, Ustam Sifra, so in other words, an unstated, right, an anonymous Sifra, again, or section from Torah's Konim, as Rashi points out over here. An anonymous Braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda. So even though Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that you can be Mechalo Shabbos to give an androgynous a bris, which tells us that androgynous is a zachar, don't think that Rabbi Yehuda always holds that an androgynous is a zachar. For look over here, you see it by Erechin. Rabbi Yehuda holds that androgynous is not a zachar, which then begs the question. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Afananam Tanina Hakol Ksherin LeKadesh Chutz Mecheres Shot of a Kohen. Everybody is capable of affecting kiddushin except for a cheres shot and a kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Bekatan Uposel Beisha VaAndrogynous. Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan can affect kiddushin under certain circumstances, but a woman cannot, and an androgynous cannot. So we'll say once again, you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that androgynous is not a zachar. So we'll say, so now I have to ask myself an obvious question. By Erech, an androgynous is not a zachar. By Kiddushin, androgynous is not a zachar. So why is Mila different? So Umayshna Mila, Mishum Dichsev, Himol Lachem, Kol Zachar. Because I will say, interesting enough, Rabbi Yehuda Dashin's Lashon of Kol Zachar. Kol Zachar comes to create a larger category of male, right? It's a larger category of Zachar. In the rest of Torah, Zachar means what? Zachar. Definitive Zachar. Definitive Zachar. Zachar is only Zachros. But apparently, again, Rabbi Yehuda Dashin's Kol Zachar is a ribui, coming to include those who aren't even fully male, right? Who are those who aren't even fully male? That's the androgynous, and therefore, again, the bris of the androgynous will be docha Shabbos, even though the androgynous is not considered to be a zachar in other areas. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem at the Mishnah tomorrow. Shkoyach.